This is here Parshat Vayishlach, right? Yaakov has come back, moves into Eretz Canaan, and the Parsha ends. Last paragraph of the Parsha is the tribes of Edom, the sons of Esav. Before we get into the whole story of Yaakov and his sons, we have a little detour on Esav's story. Source one, the Elish Shemot Alufei Esav. These are the names of the Alufim, the leaders of the groupings, Kom tribes. Of Esav, the Mishpachotam, in their families, the Mekomotam, Bishmotam, all their places, in their by their names. There was Aluf Timna, Aluf Alva, Aluf Yitzhed, Aluf Oholibama, Aluf Ela, Aluf Pinon, Aluf Kanaz, Aluf Teman, Aluf Mufsar, Aluf Magdi El, Aluf Eram. Remember all those. Ela Alufei Edom, these are the Alufim. Modern Hebrew, it's the generals, but more the leaders of the families, the Moshe Votam, as they dwell, Be'eretz Achuzatam, the land they inherited, Hu Esav Abi Edom. This was Esav, the ancestor of Edom, the nation of Edom. The Rashi ends the commentary in this parsha with two words. This Aluf Magdiel, he says, Magdiel ki Romi. Magdiel is Rome. So, three questions. One is, we all know that Edom is identified with Rome. Okay, every midrash that talks about Galut Edom, Tophet Edom, Edom is the Roman Empire. We know that. So the question is, where does that come from? Why do we say that? Second question is, why specifically out of all these descendants of Esav, why Magdiel? Why Rome with Aluf Magdiel? That's Rashi's comment. And the last question is, what's bothering Rashi? Why is Rashi telling us this? What do I do with that? Okay, Esav had these, I guess he had 12 children, he had 11 political subdivisions, one of them, Hiromi. Why does Rashi feel important? I know this. So what I'm going to give this shir, this is far too long, a shir, so I wasn't going to list all these, but I have a couple of examples of where Esav is identified with Edom, but we've all known this, boy. We've heard this before. So I won't read them out, but I'm going to point out that no one takes that literally. Esav, the person, was not the ancestor of Rome, the nation, not genetic. They're not genetic in the sense of Edom, which was a real place, a Semitic kingdom south of Israel. That was real. The Romans are Europeans. The Midrash acknowledges that, because there's a whole other set of Midrashim looking at Bilam's Nevuah of the future, the far future, that there's going to be a Kochav Mi'Israel. And he ends it with B'tzimit Miyad Kitim, and the great boat and great boats will come out of Kitim, Vinu Asher, Ashur, Vinu Ever, and they will oppress Assyria, and they will oppress Ever, the nation of the Ever Nahar, V'gamhu Adei Aved, and eventually he will be lost as well. And Rashi says, this tzim yet kitim, every kitim, that the kitim will go out, shehen romiim. The kitim are the Romans. They will come, bibraniot, gedolot, big ships, ala shur, they will come and attack Ashur. And then by Oved, they will be lost, as Daniel says about that last kingdom identified with Rome and the four kingdoms. Adi katalat chayata, until this animal dies as well. And kitim are an actual nation.
There's a good Adi, I mean.
Ad, that's Aramaic. Ad di kitilat kaivata, until the death.
But I mean, it picks up on Bilhom's Nevuah with the Adi.
Oh, Adi of it. Oh, that's right. I didn't think about that. But that's probably what, it's from Ad, same. Very good. It's still that same Ad, right? Yeah.
That's why, I mean,
Adi of it. Adi kitilat, right. Until they're lost. But the key thing is that Kitim identified with Rome because Kitim are descendants of Yavan of Greece. This is in back in Noah. Yafet has a son named Yavan. Bnei Yavan, Elisha, Tarshish, Kitim, V'dodanim. So the Kitim identified with Rome, and Rashi said, and Ibn Ezra on this, Kitim was the name, Hu ben Yavan, the son of Greece. Alkana Mati Perishev Daniel. So Ibn Ezra holds, Himalchut Yavan, V'romi Achathu, because the Romans and the Greeks really is one kingdom, they go together. So certainly putting the Romans as connected with the Greeks is great in terms of how we know history works. Putting it together with the sons of Esav does not work.
Mm-hmm. On your Shabbos class, I want you to mention my name with the
I
Adi
will
and
say that.
the
I will miss
Thank
specifically.
you.
I was debating whether to include this line at all because it's not relevant to what I'm going to say, but I need to include this now. So Adi Oved is Adi Katalat.
Okay.
Very good. So what's the
Okay.
connection? So why do is a why do we majestically connect Edom and Rome?
Right.
So it could be it's just a synecdoche. You know, synecdoche is a poetic connection based on association. Really, we talk about the White House making announcements. The building doesn't do anything. Obviously, it's a poetic connection. So Edom is simply means the historical enemy of Israel. And that was true. We have lots of examples of Edom attacking Israel. And again, you have to move faster and leave that out. But from the Haftorah, which is from Obadiah, is the entire Sefer Obadiah, one parak long. He talks about Edom as the enemy of Israel. Chazon Avadia, Kormar Hashem Elokim le'Edom. Thus saith the Lord to Edom. Shemosh Shamanu meit Hashem. We've heard this news from God. B'tzir b'goyim shalach. A messenger was sent to the nations. Kumu v'nekumu alel melchamako. Fight this nation of Edom. Why?
Wait, seer? How are you translating seer?
I think it's translated there as messenger.
Didn't we have that before and it
We
was a
didn't. I thought
boat?
no. It was Tim. We
Oh,
translated
Tim.
it as the
Yeah.
boat side of there.
You know, that was the name of the Israeli passenger shipping line, Tim.
Tim. Okay, because here it's actually translated well.
Okay.
Uncle try as big as large ships. Here it's
Okay.
here it's taking this
Seer.
messenger.
Here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Different.
Seer bagoyim shalach. Okay.
But the point is that Edom was bad. Why? Mechamas achicha Yaakov, from the violence you did to your brother Yaakov, chasecha t'chasecha, you'll be covered with shame. You'll be cut off. Oh, Edom. Yom amadcha mineged, when you stood watching, shvut zarim, when strangers took his, Yaakov's army as prisoners, Nochrim ba'o sha'arav. The strangers came to his gates, Al Yerushalayim, and on Yerushalayim yado, goral, he cast their hands against Yerushalayim. Gam atakechamehem, you joined them. You, Edom, joined them in the looting of Yerushalayim. Not clear what Obadiah is talking about. Obadiah was the time of Elisha, well before the actual Churban. This may have been Nuvua of the future Churban, or written about that, later. But Edom attack was not good to the Jews. They were all were always with a war. And Al Tamoda Perek, that you should not have stood at the crossroads, Achrita Plato, to cut off their refugees. Al Tasker Shridav, you should not have imprisoned the remnant Biyomsar on the day of their troubles. Okay, that's Edom is bad. So
And he's a
prisoners,
brother.
he's a
He
brother
said
and he's
his brother. Yeah.
right. So that's why Edom. Edom is taken simply as a symbol for the enemy of the Jews. So this way, that's the way Rav Soloveitchik put it. The Rashi comments that Magdiel is Rome. That was our question. Reference to Rome, however, should not be taken literally. It is a symbol for the most powerful the nations of the world. Historically, the nation that opposed the Jews is always the most powerful nation of its time. Days of Jeremiah, the Babylonian Empire was the most powerful nation. 500 years later, at the time of the Second Temple, this position was occupied by the Roman Empire. Okay, that's why Edom is identified by the Romans. And so we read Ovadia, and we look at the end of that parak of Ovadia, that's our Haftorah, where he's prophesying the destruction of Edom. We're thinking of the Romans and praying for their destruction. That's why we look at it. And it ends with Valumashim Hartzion, that these saviors will go on to Har Tzion, Lishpor Har Esav, and they will judge the mountain of Esav. And God will have the kingship in the end, will have the rule in the end. Esav's wiped out. We win. That's Edom. And that becomes identified with Rome. But I like the word Pake, with all due respect to Rav Soloveitchik. That doesn't seem to the way Edom is used. It's not just the enemy of the Jews. It is very
Right.
specific to Rome. It always uses that. So the question is why? There's no obvious reason. It comes up really relatively late. It first appears in the Gemara, early Midrashim, so about 300 or 400 CE.
CE.
CE. Okay. I mean, it's definitely after. I mean, the Romans basically are ruling Israel from the time of Pompey. Let's see, about 50 BCE, and they actually formally take over at around zero, right at the 1 CE area where they actually becomes part of the Roman Empire. But identifying Rome as Edom in the sources comes later than that. So one common hypothesis is that the first foreign king of the Second Temple era, when it basically took over the Hashmonaim kingdom and became a symbol of the foreign Roman influence, was Herod.
Okay.
Herod the Great, it was from the Roman province of Idumea, which is Edom. It's the area, it was the Roman, just like Judea is from Yehuda, and Idumea was from Edom.
And he was a brother, Ke'ilu. He wasn't just a total foreigner. He was
Right. You're right. So that's part of being
a relative.
from Edom there. So he becomes, since he represents the Romans, then obviously that becomes the Edomi government, as it were, that's ruling us. And the way the Gemara describes him is Herod Abdu de Bechashmonai was actually a slave of the Chashmonaim. And then there was a palace coup and took over the kingship, married one of the last remaining Hashmonai, and Amar, and then he said, "Man Darish, who is it that darshins out the pasuk and says, Mikher b'checha t'sim melech, and therefore you can't have a foreign king?" It was Rabbanan, it was all the rabbis. So kam katli l'chul Rabbanan, so he killed as many rabbis as he could find, because they're the ones who established themselves as the ones who could read the Torah. They're the ones who kept him from being a legitimate king, so he killed them. Many as he
Who
could.
killed who?
Herod killed the Rabbanan, the rabbis who were saying, "No, you can't be legitimate because the pasuk says, Mikarav achecha tasim alecha melech."
Oh, not a foreigner.
Not a foreigner. And they said he was a foreigner, so he wanted to get his own rabbinic interpreters.
Oh.
He eventually changed his mind, and then that's when he built the Beis HaMikdash, or rebuilt it in its glory in the Holy Land Hotel site. After he decided that killing all the rabbis wasn't good, so he tried to be nice to them. But he started out pretty bad. And the story about Herod, though, that he was born about 72 BCE in Idumea, right? Edom. He was the son of Antipater, was a high-ranking official, da da da. And Herod's father was by descent an Edomite with a Jewish mother. So his ancestors converted to Judaism. So Herod was raised as a Jew. So he was kind of technically Jewish. Not clear how they didn't consider him Jewish, and they considered him Edomite. So that's the most common reason for assuming that we call Edom Rome, because the association with Herod, who was from Edom, and he was the bad king, represented the Romans, and
And
used to
again,
be
Esav is a brother and
the
he's
brother.
like a family member.
Hi. I'm talking
Hi.
about why is Edom called why is Ro Edom why is Rome called Edom? One thing that and that but the thing is that calling Rome Edom comes well after the time of Herod. Again, this is 200 years later where we start seeing that. So this is a hypothesis from Malka Simkovich. You heard that name?
Nope.
She is a professor actually at the Catholic Theological University in Chicago. Nice, stern girl. At the Brandeis, PhD, I think, from Harvard, if I get it right. So she's smart. Big name in JOFA, the Jewish Orthodox Feminist Alliance. She gets quoted a lot there. But so her specialty as a nice Jewish girl at the Catholic Theological University, she has the Department of Jewish Studies.
This is
Where? at Catholic Theological University in Chicago.
Okay.
Okay. And she points out that before we see Edom, Esav identified with Rome, the church fathers, so the second generation, say, second century CE, ones who basically turned Christianity from a Jewish cult with an extra Messiah into its own religion, its own theology. Those are called the church fathers, have identified Esav with the Jews and Yaakov with the Christians. That's important. That's important to the whole theology. This is Tertullian. I can't pronounce his name.
So what does B'nai Israel mean? That's not the Jews?
Well, here's the way they look at it. Okay. I mean, look, like the Muslims say that Yishmael was the one that was nearly offered at the Akedah too.
Right.
The same. We're all reading the same book with different words. No, same words, different meaning. Okay, so this is the way he put it. Out of the womb of Rebekah, two people and two nations were about to proceed. Of course, those of the Jews, that is of Israel. He's acknowledging that's Israel, and of the Gentiles, that is ours. That's us Christians. Each of them was called a people and nation. For thus unto Rebekah did God did speak, two nations are in thy womb. They go even say to name. And two peoples shall divide it from thy bowels, and the people shall overcome people. The greater shall serve the lesser. Accordingly, so that's the prophecy. Since the people or nation of the Jews is anterior in time, came first, and greater to the grace of primary favor in the law, because they got the Torah first, whereas ours, the Christians, is understood to be lesser in the age of times, since Christians say it came after the Jews, as having in the last era of the world attained the knowledge of divine mercy, beyond doubt, through the edict of the divine utterance, the prior and greater people, that is the Jewish, must necessarily serve the less, and the less people, that is the Christians, must overcome the greater.
Makes
Since
sense.
Christians are younger than Jews as a nation, that obviously Rav Yavod Seir means the Jews have to serve the Christians. Gotta be. So her hypothesis that this. That they the rabbis were looking at the Christians gaining power in the Roman Empire. When the rabbis were writing, this is Malka Simkovich here. When the rabbis were writing their midrashim about Rome being Edom, Rome was already Christian. It would seem that part of the rabbinic identification of Rome with Esav is in response to the Christian claim that Esav is the spiritual ancestor of the Jews, which. But it makes no sense to us at all, but that was, we just saw it, right? That was an important part of the church fathers. In other words, although the rabbis explicitly connect Esav with pagan Rome, referring to Hadrian and Antoninus, destruction of the temple, the Quash Bar Kokhba rebellion, Beitar, they likely have Christian Rome in mind as well. Once the Roman Empire legalized Christianity in the fourth century and adopted Christianity as official religion, Edom became a cipher, here mentioned symbol, not just for the political entity of Rome, but for the religious entity Christianity. Such an understanding of Esav and Edom would have a particularly sharp and effective polemical counter-reading to that of Paul and the church fathers. But Edom as Rome is not so much Rome as the Roman Empire, but Rome as Christianity, Christendom. And the relation, when it mentions Galut Edom, it's talking about the Galut within the context of Christianity. And in fact, that's what the Ramban said explicitly. Said that's what Chazal meant. Edom was Christianity. This is Ramban in his Sefer Geula, talking about the future, trying to understand Sefer Daniel. We have an explicit understanding of the pasuk in Obadiah when it says, "Alumo that's our vision of the future that we're going to judge Esau. But ikar kavanah bazeh, the essential point here is ki edumim, the people of Edom, hem hayu atohim rishona acharei ha'ish. That refers to those who first started following, making the mistake of following Oto HaIsh, which always refers to Jesus. Ta'an Shumashiach, the one who claimed he was the Messiah, but Ta'anu, and they made the claim about him, but Ta'anu Allah, and they made the claim about him, Gam Be'elohut. And they also gave him divinity, the idea that the Trinity. So he says that started with the people of Edom. Upashta to Otamad Roma, and that mistake spread as far as Rome. Vidbosasasham, he made Constantina Melech, and in the days of Constantine, one who made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire, it was established then. Chayasadlehem, that was established for them. Takbulot, Memshelet Comer Roma, by all the political machinations of the Bishop of Rome. Tambo established that and established their religion there. They established Christianity as the official religion of the Roman Empire. Basibaba Shoresh, and so the original answer, the original source, the root of everything is the essence of that. Lachain techashev Romi ve'Edom malchutecha. That's why we consider Rome and Edom as being one kingdom. Plus, the Edom was the original source of the of Christianity, and it spread to Rome in the Ramban's eyes. Afal pi shehem umot shonot, even though they clearly they are separate nations. We're not claiming they're, they came from the same nation. Biatam darachah, because they have one religion. We call Edom Rome because we're referring to, I'm going to call it Christendom. During the time of Ramban, that there was we wasn't really a difference between the religious side and the political side. This great fight between Christendom and Islam. And certainly when the Rishonim, Rashi, Ramban, are looking at Edom as the modern Edom, they're not thinking about the ancient Roman Empire, they're talking about Christendom, the Christian countries that existed at that point. And this is before the Treaty of Westphalia, so they're the nations themselves thought of them as kind of the descendants of the Roman Empire with the religion of Christianity. So I think that's what Rashi means, or what he's going hinting at when he says, Madiel hi Romi. Not just all of Edom, but specifically Magdiel, one of the tribes of Edom. That comment comes Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. This is the Medrash. This is what Rashi is quoting. But Rashi will take a tiny piece of it. So this here is the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. It says, Nashav banav, when Yaakov comes back to Eretz Canaan, he's reunited with his brother. They live together for a short period of time, and then Esav decides there's no room for both of us, and he leaves and moves in with his father-in-law down in the south in Seir. So by Kach Esav Nashav Banav, Esav took his wives, his children, Vayelchel Eretz, and left to another land, Bnei Yaakov Achiv, because of Yaakov, his brother. Esav moves out. And the Midrash says, V'char shepana et kol kelav, v'shvil Yaakov Achiv, and because he cleared out all of his stuff for the sake of Yaakov, his brother. Natan lo, he got the reward that was given, Me'a Medinot, 100 nations, Me Seir Ad Magdiel. From Seir to Magdiel, that's all those Aluf this, Aluf Anah, Aluf Yemah, etc. Aluf Magdiel, Aluf Iram. As it says, the end of that our parsha is Aluf Magdiel, Aluf Iram. The last two Alufim, Zeromi. That's wrong. You notice that both names are read as wrong. Together. It's Aluf Magdiel, Aluf Iram, Zeromi. Together. That's what we're taking as symbolic. Rashi only quotes one of those. My Aluf Magdiel is wrong.
But it starts with a nice thing Esav did. It's a reward.
Yes. Watch closely. Right. This is what Rashi's saying. Very good. So Midrash explains the name Iram. Okay. What is Iram? It's Aluf Iram. And when the Midrash is Bereishis Rabbah, not those are different Midrash, but Aluf Magdiel, Aluf Iram. Lufi Ram, Amar Rabbi Chanina Sifrona, Lama nikra Aram? Why was he called Aram? What does Aram mean? Shehu atidit la'arem tasoriyot v'melach Mashiach. In the future, he will arema as a pile. He will pile up tasoriyot our treasures for Mashiach. Aram is going to give treasures to a Mashiach. He's going to give us all sorts of stuff. That's great. Midrash is reading the name. Okay, just like Esav gave Yaakov the privilege of living in Eretz Canaan, so to Aram means he's in the future, they're going to give us piles of treasures. And there's no Midrash explanation of Magdi El, but the Maral on Rashi explains this. Malchut Romi Ramazakatu b'Magdiel. This Romans are hinted at this name Magdiel. Ki Hashem Yitbarach Magdiel Oto. He reads it as Migdal El, the greatness of God, or one who's made great by God. I think you might read it as Meged, meaning the bounty, the gift of El, the gift of God. It's a positive name. Ki Hashem Yitbarach Magdiel Oto. Zeh Malchut. This is the kingdom he got. Now that's why this is the last one. It's Aluf Magdiel and Aluf Eram. Hul Aluf Asiri is the 10th one. Baral is very into numbers. Yasiri Yoter Chashuv, that's the most important one. Gam Aluf Eram, Ehu Romi, both of those are part of Rome. Let's say we have these two midrashic, two approaches to our twin brother. Rome, Edom, Western civilization as a whole. But we're living this galut here. You look at them as Aram, the one who piles up treasure for Melech Mashiach. And that's a way of looking at them. They have value in terms of what we get out of them. They give us stuff, great. And then there's Magdiel, which the name means when God's made great. I mean, they have their own inherent value. And I have to be appreciated for that. So the question is, what do I do with Christianity? Do I participate in their value or I just take? Do I look at us, Esav hates us, so I just get what I can get out of them. And that kind of call it a dialectic. Different way of dealing with the outside world. Part of understanding forever. And if I had time, I would have gone through the Monty Python source here. We all know our Monty Python Life of Brian. Okay, Davida obviously does. But I did quote it here, so we have time here. This is the Judeans talk about the Romans. Okay, what have they ever done for us in return? About the Romans? The aqueduct? Oh, yeah, they give us that. Yeah, that's true. And sanitation? Oh, yeah, sanitation, right? Remember what the city used to be like? All right, okay, grant you the aqueduct. Sanitation, two things Romans have done. And roads? Oh, yeah, obviously roads. I mean, roads go the same. Perfect for the sanitation, aqueduct, roads, irrigation, medicine, education, public baths. It's safe to walk the streets now, at night now, too. Right? Yeah, they certainly have to keep order. Let's face it, they're the only good in a place like this. Okay, all right. But far from sanitation, medicine, education, wine, public water, irrigation, roads, and a fresh water system, public health, what have the Romans ever done for us? All right. So, pretty much that's a quote from the Gemara. I don't know if Monty Python knew that at the time, but here's the Gemara in source 25. Rabbi Yehuda started to say, and he said, "Kama na'im ma'asein shel umazu. How not wonderful all the things that the Romans, this nation, have done here in Israel. Tignu Shevakim, they put all these market, they built those marketplaces. Tignu Gashrim, they built bridges. Tignu Ma'achatzaot, they built bathhouses." I mean, they have their bad sides, but Roman government's not been terrible for Judea. Rabbi Yossi Shatak, Rabbi Yossi didn't say anything. Nena Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai loudly said, and Amar komache tignu lo tignu ela l'tzorach. They're just doing it for their own sakes. It wasn't for us. We don't have to appreciate them. Tignu shvakim lo shiba and zanut, all these marketplaces are there just for their, putting their prostitutes in, the bathhouse are for their own pleasure. They put the bridges, built the roads just so they can collect taxes. And this is the point after which Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is overheard and he has to go into hiding because the Romans, accusing him of treason. So this is the point where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai goes in hiding for 12 years. But he has this consistent attitude about how we deal with the non-Jews. Right? They're just doing things for their own sakes. We're going to take advantage of it, what they offer, of what they can give. But we want them. They are. It's dealing with them as a rom. They're piling treasure up for us. We're just going to be there to take from them. This is the Gemara Bracha. And the pasuk says, "Vasafta deganecha in Shema." Is it telling that now? What does it mean? Is there a mitzvah to go gather grain? No. It says, "Lefisha ne'amar lo yamush sefer Torah zemipicha." Torah said that Yeshua says rather that the Torah will not leave your mouth. Yachol devrim kitzavah. Maybe we should take that literally and should only sit and learn. Lomar vasafta deganecha. You have to gather grain as well. Hanheg bahen minhag derech eretz. You have to work too. That's Derech Eretz. You have to work as well as learn at the same time. Dibrei Yishmael, that's Rabbi Yishmael. This is the famous one. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, Efshar Adam Choresh B'Shat Harisha, Zoreh B'Shat Zriah, Kotzer B'Shat Ktira, Dash B'Shat Nisha, Zoreh B'Shat Ruach. You know, if you're just going to work, you're going to plant when it's time to plant, you're going to plow when it's time to plow. I'm gonna get that order backwards, so I'm definitely starting by thresh when it's time to thresh, etc. Torah mate Allah, then when are you gonna learn Torah? No, Ella. When, no, the truth is if you did what do what God wants you to do, and when you say for Torah, you just sit and learn, all your work will be done by them. Right, you'll sit and learn, and somebody else will support you. You're not going to make comments about current temporary politics in any way whatsoever. Shenemar v'amdu zarim, the strangers will come, and they will shepherd your flocks. That's a Shimon Bar Yochai, and that the Gemara famously says that many people try to do it like Shimon Bar Yochai and fail. They did like Rabbi Shishmael and they succeeded. Separate question. But again, these two, how do I look at Masen shel umazu, whether it's Rome, we're looking at Edom. Do I look at it as they're all man na'im masen shel umazu? They're so wonderful, or Mlaktana said acherim, we just can take advantage of them. Because so many of the kinds we've shown, look at the Rashbam, look at the Ramban, they are explicitly anti-Christian polemics. Christians are terrible. We have to fight them as much as possible. There's been a question whether Rashi's commentary does that as well. He doesn't explicitly do it. But here Rashi says is Magdiel Hiromi. I'm saying that there's a symbolism of Magdiel, one of the God made great, and the symbol of Aram, the two ways of looking at Edom. Here Rashi just says the one. It's Magdiel. I think Rashi here is saying that Rome is represented by the Aluf Magdiel, the Shemi Barak Magdieloto, that we have something to is a positive side. We can admire them for what they have to offer as well. And not simply take.
But, you know, maybe before they destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, you could have this attitude. They're ruling our country, there's good things. But what positiveness is there in the image of Rome?
This discussion is Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai,
the after the
Talmidim.
Destruction. It
that is
doesn't
after the Korban.
Right.
Those are the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. That's even after it was at the time of the Hadrianic persecution. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is going into hiding. That's even dealing with the Romans as they are. And I'm translating that as, so I would say certainly that Rashi is right at the beginning of the period of the Crusades. He hasn't seen the Crusades happen yet. So you can still have a positive attitude course for the Crusades.
I don't know, this whole thing is, it's weird. It's almost like, well, you have to admire the Nazis for their efficiency. And I mean, at this point in history, to start admiring the Romans seems crazy. Not our point, the Rishonim.
Well, okay,
where
so the Rishonim
can
admire the Romans because they're not dealing with that. That's already past history. You're talking about here in this paragraph here of the Tanaim admiring the Romans.
Yeah.
in the generation of
Right. The
Gentiles.
Tanaim, I'm saying. The Tanaim. Right.
Okay.
How could it blah, 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 blah. I don't know. So you're saying Rashi picked the son of Esav or the Aluf who had this name, a positive name that
Right,
God made
associated
him
with,
great.
right, that
He picked that
positive
one
aspect of
to
all the
be
aspects of Esav,
Rome.
the one positive thing that he picked to represent Rome was a positive one. If I can tell,
Yeah.
the other place where he mentions this Esav Rome connection is also a positive one.
The one where he, where Asaph left.
No, that's not Rashi. Rashi quote the one where it says Shnei Goyim v'Vitnech. He quotes, I actually brought this. I brought the original Gemara here. Yeah. So he quotes the Gemara about Azara. That's the only other place he mentions. That's why I can tell Esav is wrong. When it says, when Rivka gets the Nevuah, you have two nations, and it's written Geyim, Gimel, Yud, Yud, Mem. And the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Rav. I'll take Goyim Geyim, meaning the proud ones. The Antoninus Rebbe.
We
Whereas
did
these
this?
two,
I don't
what?
remember this.
We
I
did.
think
No,
we
I
skipped
skipped over.
it.
I skipped over this.
Oh, okay.
I said this is too long to
Right.
bring in 45 minutes. I
Right.
just these are this
Okay.
was one example. These are examples of the Gemara of talking about Esav as wrong. That Esav is represented by Antoninus, the friend of Rebbe Huda Anasi. Again, this is year 200, well after Korban, well after Beitar, and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was friends of Antoninus, which is described as a Kesar. Not clear which Antoninus, Anthony was a common name. There was a Antoninus Pius who was the actual emperor. That was probably 40 years before Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So Marcus Aurelius would be about the right time. But anyway, but Antoninus and Rebbe were described as friends. But those were the two Geyim, the two proud ones, meaning Shelo Pasku Me'al Shulchanam, that their tables never ceased having Lo Chazeret. They always had mustard, Lo Kishot and gourds, Lo Tzanin radishes, Lo Botachama, whether it was hot, whether the warm season, Lo Gashamim, whether it was summer and winter, they always had fresh vegetables. That was proof that they were truly rich. Obviously, we're all spoiled because we can get fresh vegetables in any season we want. But that again, that Rashi quotes that as well. Again, a very positive way of looking at Esav descendant being Rome here. So Rashbam is all anti-Christianity. Rashi never says anything really anti. I suspect he really did. He was relatively positive. I mean, he was alive at the time the first Crusades were happening, but before it became really bad.
And he was where in France?
He was in France, in the area around Worms, which would be wiped out by the Crusaders.
Oh.
And Troy, yeah. So, but again, I would say that at least Magdiel Hiromi is a hint that this is, we can look at the
Right.
modern Rome as the as the Migdal Kel, when made great by God. We don't have to hate Edom. And of course, sometimes, yeah, we do. That was your point. I'm trying to make things as positive and light and fluffy as possible here.
We hate them.
What?
We have to hate them.
There are points where it is appropriate.
It depends who the them is, right? We don't hate Western culture, right?
Right.
Is that Rome?
Well, it seems kind of
Yeah.
like from the Gemara, like you think that's what they're representing are those who built up these cities and infrastructure and
Right.
they're not saying they there's no mention in this of religious value or ethical value. It's very
Right, roads and
Good.
bridges.
Yeah.
That's a positive step. But I mean, I think that at least the identification with Edom is certainly isn't in part religious. And it's of course the Gemara, it is always negative when you talk about it. It's well known that, you know, Edom hates Esav hates Yaakov, and they quote that all the time.
No, but here you're saying though that like Christendom wasn't like that was the political definition of the empire. It
Right.
wasn't it meaning now when we say Christianity, we're looking at it as mostly religious. But when they were
Yes.
talking about it, they were talking about it, it was
It was
essentially
political.
political. I
Yes.
mean, it
Yes.
so it doesn't necessarily mean that they were saying like it could be the westernized Christian world that was what it like that was what it was.
Yes, I think that's what they're looking at and admiring and saying you can appreciate that.
Right.
And that we don't have to only, I think not so much the hate side, but the idea of taking. That they exist only for us to get what we can out of it. But I think is an unhealthy attitude, as opposed to admiring it for what it is, and we can actually participate in it and contribute as well. I think that's a way of looking at Edom. Right, and not in terms of looking at the religion, but in terms of the
Right.
leaders of
If
the
they let
farmland.
us,
Yes.
I don't know that the Christians would have been so happy about
Right, and
Jewish
obviously the
participation
irony
there.
of Rashi saying, if I'm reading Rashi correctly, is in within the next, over the next 100 years, Rashi's community is going to be wiped out by the Crusaders.
Right, and they're going to be the ones saying like, we don't want anything from you. Don't like you can't participate in this. You can't.
Right.
Well, I think we're, well, you're Danny, you have this modern sensibility that we don't want to separate and hate the rest of the world. We want to enjoy what's good about it. That's your basic
Yes.
feel of living today. And I think you're putting that feeling onto, Rashi, say, or old.
I am hypothesizing that's part of his attitude based on what he
Yeah.
said here. Right. I think
Right.
that attitude is certainly part of the, whoops.
You're still there.
I'm so glad I try to share that. There we go.
Oh.
Certainly the Rabbi Yehuda attitude of Kama Na'im Maaseihem is not me. That clearly is the Tana saying this about the Romans. Kama Na'im
Right.
Maaseihem Shel Hamazu does reflect that kind of attitude.
Yeah, it does. And the name Magdiel, although it didn't catch
Again.
on, there's no name Magdiel.
I was actually thinking it's in Arabic, like Majid al, like
Oh,
there's a lot of like that's very, very common.
yeah, that's
I know
interesting. Could be.
here there's like Majid al Karum, there's like a lot of, I assume it's the same.
Could be.
I don't
And
know. I don't
Iram?
speak Arabic.
Iram also isn't one of our names, is it? Iram?
Yeah, I mean, these are
It
all these
sounds so
sensei.
Israeli. It
But
does, doesn't it?
here,
Alone,
let's
blah, blah, blah,
go with
Iram.
the list over here. I don't know how many of them are actually adopted this, right? You know anybody? Let's see, Timna, Alva, Yetet, Olivama, Ela, Pinon, Knaz, Otniel ben Knaz. That's a Tanakh name. One of the Shoftim was named. His father was
Yeah.
named Knaz. Taman.
Pinan could be Penina.
He could be Mibsar, name of the tower. Magdiel and Aram. Those were Esav's.
It is interesting that from that Rashi picks Magdiel.
Right. And that was this is my hypothesis. He doesn't say why. That is my hypothesis, that we have the
Yeah.
Midrashim that associate Magdiel and Aram, both with different implications of those names. And I'm pulling out that he picks just the one.
Right.
And I think it makes
Well,
again
as you said, maybe he changed his mind after the Crusades,
it's
and
probably possible. Like I said, that the Crusades were at the end of his life. Certainly his grandchildren, the Bali
yeah.
Tosfot, had a much more negative view of Christendom,
And
for good reason.
we're, you know, we should be very careful of that attitude because the Crusades could be coming again.
That
I
was
don't
more paranoid than I usually think of you there.
know. I know. I'm surprised also.
Okay, so you're
Okay. Very interesting.
well,
All right. Thank
okay,
you.
we're not gonna make a connection about contemporary Israeli politics. I'm gonna stop.
No.